Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Yeah, it sure is, and we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Salute to everybody listening on ESPN 1320, everybody listening on the free Odyssey app, and everybody, of course, on YouTube.com/ESPN1320 and Twitch.tv/ESPN1320. If we sound a little wonky, I will fix that ASAP, I promise.
All right.
I will fix that as soon as possible. I know exactly what the issue is. I just need to go do something about it. And we're in the middle of a radio show, and we don't have anybody here who can do something about it. Ergo, if anything sounds bad, you got to deal with it for a segment, but then it'll be fixed at the next break.
Okay.
You're all welcome. Good morning. We had some news this morning. I want to talk about a great sports night last night.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. The MLB postseason has been awesome. We had a decent Monday night game.
Mm-hmm.
It was all right. Weird game. We'll talk about that.
We watched paint dry.
Boy, did we. But then we got some news this morning that the New York Jets fired head coach Robert Saleh following a 2-3 start, following a loss in London to the Minnesota Vikings. And that was apparently the final straw. That was it. A loss to the undefeated Vikings overseas. And Eric Mangini, Awful Announcing, posted this today. Eric Mangini last week, I believe on FS1, predicted that if the Jets lose, Robert Saleh would get fired. Because if you remember, Woody Johnson, during the Donald Trump presidential administration, was the ambassador, the United States ambassador to the UK.
Okay.
So he's got a bunch of homies over there who were at the game.
Mm.
And Eric Mangini on FS1, former NFL coach, basically said he doesn't want to get embarrassed in front of his friends. So if they lose this game, Robert Saleh might get fired. And Robert Saleh didn't have an inkling. This is according to the reporting from Adam Schefter at ESPN, who broke the news. There was an inkling that there wasn't. He showed up to work today like normal, was in his office like normal. And then Woody Johnson comes strolling in and goes, "Hey, you're done."
That's wild.
And the defensive coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich, is going to take over. Because apparently that's going to fix everything.
49ers legend, Jeff Ulbrich.
Yeah, absolutely. Underrated.
Yeah, what a mess, man. I hate when just ownership isn't rational. And I've seen it too many times during my career covering Sacramento Kings. Just like, can we all just calm down and like, live in a little bit in the moment and let somebody like develop, like figure out what's going on. I mean, you have a 40-year-old quarterback who isn't moving well at all, who is like, he's like up against a blitzing defense, was just like a Statue of Liberty, like waiting to get run over. Like, I don't know what is happening at all with that. And that's after a year where he was just, he got hurt three plays into a game and miss the entire season. And so what are you supposed to, I don't know. Robert Saleh is a good coach, a good head coach.
I have no, right.
I think he's a very, very good coach. I don't know if he's a good head coach.
Sure.
But he sure does look the part, and it just feels like circumstance. And that's why if you're a coach in the NFL, think long and hard before you take a starting, a head coaching job.
Yeah.
Because most of these jobs are really bad.
Well, and remember when Robert Saleh took over that job with the Jets, they had the number two pick that year. Mm. Like, they were in a good spot to, like, okay, hey, we can get a good quarterback, we can start rebuilding. And my problem with this, and of course, this all circles back to the 49ers. Just by the way, real quick, this show is not going to be all Robert Saleh being fired, which is all the show, two shows before ours on this station, the Mike Greenberg program. And then Carlin versus Joe was all about, it's wall-to-wall coverage of Robert Saleh. That's not what this show is going to be, I promise. But it matters for the 49ers because as they struggle on defense and their defensive coordinator is getting called out by, the coaching staff is getting called out by Nick Bosa for lack of adjustments, it just kind of makes you think. So anyways.
The what if of it all.
Sure.
With your former defensive coordinator getting fired from his job.
At a time where your defense is struggling. Like that's why this all matters. But still, it's fascinating that the Jets would decide to do this. The problem to me is all we heard with the Jets all offseason was, hey, Robert Saleh's got that defense playing lights out. The Jets, man, Aaron Rodgers comes back, Super Bowl. The Jets are going to go to the Super Bowl. They're going to win the Super Bowl. All they need is if Aaron Rodgers can just be mediocre, that's all they need. Zach Wilson was so bad. If he's just mediocre, they'll be fine. But he's an MVP 2 years ago and this and that. Like, okay. We didn't hear once, like, yeah, hey, this might get a little sideways because we're not sure Robert Saleh is a good head coach. And you've now determined after 5 weeks and a 2-3 start that all of a sudden this is the problem? This is a bad organization. You said it, dude. Like, how many times did we watch the Kings do this over the years?
Yeah.
Where they have, so there is a laundry list of problems and they think solving it is, hey, fire the head coach and just bring in somebody new.
Yep.
Scrap continuity.
Yeah.
Like, this doesn't, and I get they've got to kind of go all in a little bit because they may not have Aaron Rodgers after this year. And they've got to, like, okay, this has got to push the chips in. But hey, changing your head coach after 5 weeks, I don't think is the move.
Well, especially 5 weeks where you're 2-3 and you're a game out of first place in your division. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, again.
And you're going to keep Nathaniel Hackett?
This is what bad organizations do. They cycle through coaches like this all the time. They want to put blame on somebody. There's always somebody that you can point a finger at. And, like, look, Robert Saleh is 20-36 as a head coach. I'm not saying he's a great head coach.
No doubt.
But, like, to hear everybody else out there, like, oh, Robert Saleh is a fact. He is a bad head coach. I don't know that that's a fact. A lot of these things are situational.
Yeah.
And the fact is you brought in a young quarterback who was just absolutely atrocious.
Zach Wilson stinks.
And I don't think Robert Saleh chose Zach Wilson. At least I don't think.
I would be shocked if he had any say over who was selected number two in the 2021 draft.
Exactly. And then you get to the Aaron Rodgers situation and just like, look, he's not the same player.
Which, dude, we could have told you that.
Yes.
Did you and I on this program, The Insiders, 10 a.m. to noon, every day on ESPN 1320, did we not tell you, hey, and a lot of other people tell you, hey, I'm not buying the Jets.
No.
Like, are we sure Aaron Rodgers is good? Like, he's just going to come back at 40 and off an Achilles tear and just be awesome?
Yeah, the Achilles tear. That's the thing. It's like, look, he wasn't... I mean, he could move a little bit out of the pocket, but he wasn't super mobile anymore anyways.
Here's my thing with this. If you were that low on Robert Saleh, if his leash was so short, that a 2-3 start where your third loss was an overseas loss to an undefeated Vikings team.
Mm-hmm.
If his leash was that short in this particular circumstance, why are we not firing him in the offseason?
Yeah.
Why not just go, hey, this isn't going to work.
No.
Like we need whoever he wants Nathaniel Hackett as a head coach. Okay, that's what it's going to be. Like this is so odd. You Roger Sherman, formerly of The Ringer, I believe he just does like a Substack now, something independent. He's a sports writer. Said, knowledge of weird things that piss specific billionaires off is probably more useful for explaining the NFL than a lifetime of studying the intricacies of the game of football. And that feels like the same for every sport.
Yeah.
Because that's ultimately what this is.
Yeah, if you can't connect with a head coach, with an owner, and
yeah, you're toast.
Yeah, like you have to find a way. Yeah. And to me, that's like, again, it's not just like during my time covering the game, it's not just Vivek. It's you know, the Maloofs were the same way.
Yeah.
Like it was always a blame game with the Maloofs. And like, whose fault is it? Well, I'll tell you whose fault it is. It's the owner that had the lowest payroll in the NBA for three seasons.
Right.
I mean, that's
is not that difficult to figure out.
It's not that we can't. This doesn't take like a Sherlock Holmes to track this down. What happened here?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I hope that you learn and you grow and you get better at what you're doing. And again, I think Vivek has. Mm-hmm. And so, like, do you make mistakes? Yeah.
Yeah,
the key is to not keep making the same mistake.
And it's not exclusive to Sacramento.
No,
there are bad owners all over the world.
I totally agree.
It's just a kind of foundational aspect of a sports league is, hey, there's going to be 10 owners that just stink and their teams are going to perpetually stink because of it.
That's right.
That's kind of how it goes. So
it's weird how having my chair like 1 inch too low like upset my entire feng shui this morning.
You good now?
I'm good. That's what just happened. I like something is wrong here. I moved the chair. It's like I couldn't put my feet on the rail below.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. It was too compact.
My foot's on the rail.
I blame Jesse. Jesse sat here yesterday.
You know what? I love that. Blame Jesse.
Blame Jesse.
Yeah, hell yeah. All right, shout out to Jesse. So, Robert Saleh, here's the other aspect of this, bringing this back to Northern California. Obviously, given the 49ers' defensive struggles, given Nick Bosa saying after another loss to the Arizona Cardinals, where they blew a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter, hearing Nick Bosa say, well, the game planning's great. We have a great plan. We don't do a good job of adjusting. Kyle Shanahan pushed back against that in his conference call yesterday, but of course he is. He's not going to throw his defensive coordinator under the bus, at least not this year. He did it last year.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to throw his defensive coordinator under the bus yet, but I see. I get the vision with, oh, Robert Saleh. I got to bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
I see the vision. First of all, Robert Saleh is probably not taking a job the rest of this year. He's getting paid. He's taking his time off. I would almost guarantee it.
I'd love if he just showed up tomorrow.
I think he's got like seven kids, maybe more.
Oh, wow.
Like he's chilling with his fam, I bet. Like he's vibing. He might vibe next year too.
Mm.
But he's not the automatic fix for the 49ers defense. Just to be very, very abundantly clear. If they signed Robert Saleh today, if Robert Saleh was in the building, they said, hey, Nick Sorensen, you got to work from home day. Go ahead. Robert Saleh is going to come in. You can work in Nick's office. Like, if that's it, let's say that happens. It's not going to, but let's just say it does.
Mm-hmm.
The Niners aren't going to go out on Thursday against the Seahawks and all of a sudden be the 2019 49ers on defense again. They just don't. Like, this is the 49ers issue this year on that side of the ball is that they just don't have the dudes to do what they want to do.
Yes.
That's it. Like, there's
very
no
apparent.
There is nothing that it's not that much deeper than that. Could coaching adjustments have helped a little against Cardinals? Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But even still, let's say they win that game against Cardinals. Let's say their kicker misses that kick at the end and the Niners run out the clock. They'd have the same problems. All of the issues are still there.
Yep.
Right? Even if Jake Moody makes that field goal against the Rams, all these problems are still lingering. This is a personnel issue. Their defensive line is not good enough and it's banged up. Yeter Gross-Matos, who was supposed to be a huge part of what they were doing because he can rush from the inside, he can rush from the outside. He's a versatile piece, young player. They can develop him. Javon Hargrave supposed to be a force in the middle for them. Not a three-down player. B, one of their best pass rushers now out for the year. Their linebacker play, we talked about this yesterday. Linebacker play, not good enough except outside of Fred Warner.
Yeah, Campbell's just one of the worst players I've seen.
It is baffling that he continues to be on the field.
Yes, I don't understand that at all.
I say this about players a lot. Like, I say this, like I made this up. People say this about defensive players a lot. Like, man, that guy's around the ball a ton.
Mm-hmm.
So in the draft, that's one of the things I look for when I'm watching players is like, how often does the play end and this guy is around the football?
Yeah, the ball hawk guys.
Yeah, and that's where you go, man, you know what? I don't know if this guy didn't test great, but man, he finds his way to the football. Like, I don't, maybe his on-field speed is faster, he's got great instincts, whatever it is. Devondre Campbell's around the football a lot, but in a bad way, where it's always at the end of the play. He's always trailing the football.
I used to say this about Ben McLemore's defense. I called it windshield wiper defense.
Like, explain.
He would run and jump by you. And then he would jump by you the other way. And then jump by you the other way. And that's what it feels like. Like, he's always, like, he's chasing the rain the whole time. Mm-hmm. You know? It's like, oh, there's more rain on the windshield. Flying the other way.
Yeah.
Oh, no, there's more rain. Flying the other way. That's what, like, Campbell looks like. He's just out of control. He's watched Fred Warner fly to the ball and crush everyone. And then he flies there and is like, wait, where am I?
Play's over.
Wait, what just happened?
You shot the wrong gap. Pause. And then you weren't fast enough to get to the edge. And then he got beat in coverage. Like, this is what...
Yes.
He's playing windshield wiper defense. The windshield wipers aren't working. He needs to visit Jiffy Lube.
That's right.
Find the location nearest him at jiffylube.com.
I totally agree. 24 yeah. years in the Sacramento area.
So 24, 34. Over 30 years.
Oh. Yeah, since 1984. Since 1984.
A long time.
This is a long time.
That's 40 years?
40 years.
Oh, my God. Hey, 1984 was 40 years ago.
Yeah, because this is 40 years of Sacramento Kings basketball.
Dog.
The 85-86 season, so. Yeah.
Dang, that's wild. Crazy. That's crazy. Anyways. Their linebacker play outside of Fred Warner hasn't been good enough. Their safeties are not good. Like, I'm sorry. Like, Talanoa Hufanga, splash play guy, all pro a couple years ago, he bites on fakes and overruns more plays and gets out of position more than any safety I can remember with the 49ers. Jair Brown is probably a year away. Malik Mustafa is a year away from being a year away. Like, they just that's fine. They're young. They've got guys who might be playing a little bit out of position or playing quicker than they wanted them to. But all of this is to say, Robert Saleh is not fixing all that.
Nope.
You can bring him into the building and say, yeah, Bob, do what we want to do, the stuff, the 4-3 Pete Carroll stuff. That's just not going to fly anymore. Like, that, it's at least not with this group. They have massive, and that's why I can't judge Nick Sorensen yet. That's why I can't get on track or get on the train of, hey, you know what? They probably need to fire Nick Sorensen. For what? He's not. This personnel isn't his fault.
And five games into a season, that's not enough time anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't even gone through the go to the booth, come down to the field, go back up to the booth.
Yeah.
We haven't even gone through that yet.
Right. So, and so he's adjusting on the fly. So that's where I understand if it continues like this through the year, throughout the entire season, and they continue to have players talking about, adjustments. If you start having effort problems,
mm-hmm.
That was the other thing with Steve Wilks. Was you got into a game in week 8 against the Bengals where effort was clearly a problem on defense. Mm. The NFC title game, they were talking about how effort was a problem. Like, that to me is on coaching. So if they're late in the season and it's like, man, you know what? Effort's not there. They haven't made the right adjustments. Blitz calls are bad. Like, then yeah, then okay, maybe you go get Robert Saleh and you try and tweak the personnel. But this year, there's no, that's not the simple fix.
Yeah, you're kind of pot committed.
Yeah. That's a great way to put it. Yes.
Yeah, you've got you're all in on what's happening here. Yeah. And at a certain point, you got to let a guy sink or swim, and you don't want it to sink your whole team. But at the same time, like, look, this isn't a one guy issue.
Exactly.
It's Benjamin in the chat brings up, you know, they miss Greenlaw. They miss Greenlaw so bad.
Bro. It's, I have pounded the table about this over the last couple of years. While the focus has been on like Nick Bosa and this pass rush, look how good the defensive line is. Their ability to control the middle of the field
mm-hmm.
in the passing game and take away those easy throws for quarterbacks because of Dre Greenlaw's athleticism, because of Fred Warner's athleticism, the tone Dre Greenlaw sets and the speed and the violence that he plays with
mm-hmm.
is just missing. It's just gone. And you see Fred Warner try and bring all that, but then it's like he's driving a Lamborghini and then he's got a used Mazda Miata next to him. Yeah. No shade to a used Mazda Miata. Like a perfectly fine car, but not in this instance, not for what the 49ers are trying to do. And so they this huge advantage that they used to have is now gone. Plus Greenlaw's ability to get to the edge and his ability to read screens and get through blocks. Like just an outstanding player.
Yep.
He and Warner were two of the top 10 linebackers in the league.
Yep.
So you miss that in the second level, and it just changes what you can do defensively. And then, like I said, you replace him with a bad player in Devondre Campbell.
And I feel, you know, someone asked like how much of this falls. Kyron asked how much of this falls on sorry about that.
No, that's fine. I was
on Lynch for not finding quality backups. Like, I mean, you're looking at not. I don't even want to call. I don't even want to call him a backup. He's a placeholder for a guy who will return eventually.
Yeah,
and that's what you're waiting for. And I don't know when Greenlaw will return. I don't know. Like, probably not until December or January, if that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're looking at an Achilles, and he tore it in February. Mm-hmm. It's usually a year, so he might not play the entire season.
Yeah.
But what you got here is a placeholder for Greenlaw until he's back, and it's just not working out. You need to find a new placeholder, and you also need to find some defensive line upgrades.
Yeah, man.
And yeah, this is a mess. Like they realistically have to be aggressive right now in reinventing their roster on the fly.
Totally agree.
And go spend some draft capital and figure it out, because right now it's not good.
So just getting back to the front office question that Kyron asked, I think it's a little bit on the front office.
Yeah.
For sure. But they went out and they got Leonard Floyd. They thought, man, you know what? This has been a really impactful pass rusher for the last 4 years. We'll go get this guy. Gross Matos wasn't in a great situation in Carolina, but was a decently effective player. We think we can develop him and bring him in. They know they had D'Amador Lenore and Charvarius Ward. They used a second-round pick on a cornerback, earliest they've ever selected a cornerback in the Kyle Shanahan era. And then they sign Isaac Yiadom, who's coming off the best year of his career defensively with the Saints. And you have a little competition there for the third cornerback spot. The baffling part to me was they spent two draft picks last year on Jalen Graham and D. Winters, linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
And then Curtis Robinson's been with the team forever. He's now out with a torn ACL. And then they draft Tatum Bethune in the seventh round this year, and they've had really good success with drafting these linebackers and finding really good quality players at that spot. Even a guy like Azeez Al-Shaair, undrafted, is now off, had a year with the Titans, 1 year with the Titans, got signed with the Texans, having a really nice year for the Texans. And they've identified talent at that position, but they signed Devondre Campbell, who was an All-Pro 2 years ago, clearly past his prime, and never any competition. The training camp practice I went to, Nick Sorensen got asked, like, hey, are D. Winters or Jalen Graham or anybody going to work in at the Will linebacker spot? And he was like, whoa, no. Like, Devondre Campbell is the starter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wait, what? Why? That's the guy you're just I get bringing him in. All pro 2 years ago, you think, hey, putting him next to Fred Warner, he's got good size, he can rush the passer a little bit. Okay, yeah, we like this idea. I get the idea, but I also think he projects as the third linebacker right now, like a rundown type of guy, where it's three linebackers on the field, and his athleticism or his lack of athleticism is less of a problem.
Yeah.
They've started to work D. Winters in a little bit. He's been banged up, and so he hasn't gotten to work in probably as much as they want to, but I would be shocked if after the bye week, Devondre Campbell is a starter. And that's just a quick fix that they can make. But I do think when you start to kind of look at this, that's why we talked so much about Kyle Shanahan yesterday. He has final say on this roster.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's not the guy. It is a brain trust. There's a lot of people working. They lost Adam Peters, who had been their head personnel guy. Because John Lynch is ostensibly a figurehead. He's ostensibly the Queen of England. King of England now, I guess. He's there. He's to be out in front and be a good player relationship guy and to do the media stuff. But they have a very large front office doing the actual personnel stuff. And I'm sure John Lynch does some of it. But I think that might factor in a little bit. But Leonard Floyd is not the player they thought he was going to be. Gross Matos has been dealing with a knee injury. He's on IR now. Javon Hargrave's on IR now.
Yeah.
They you can only have so many really good players on the defensive line. So some of it definitely goes on the front office, but Robert Saleh, not the fix after being fired by the Jets.
No. So. Not unless it's for next season or the season after. He's not going to be able to fix everything.
No.
There's not a Band-Aid solution here for you.
No, although it'd be awful fun if there was.
I have a...
Transitions. Padres, Dodgers, tonight.
Yeah, you got your hat on.
Yeah, I do. Big Padres guy.
Yep.
This is the Randy Jones era Padres. Shout out to Dave Winfield, too. Padres, Dodgers, 5:30 p.m. coverage begins tonight right here on ESPN 1320. Dude, the MLB postseason has been sensational. It has been so freaking good. Like yesterday, so first of all, if you're not keeping track, all of the division series are tied 1-1 for the first time ever.
That's wild. It's a wild stat, man.
Ever. Like that's if you had asked me how many times that happened, I'd have been like three times that's happened.
I wonder, like, how many years is that, though? That's not, like, in 140 years.
No. Since they've gone to the division.
Yeah.
Since when the wild card, 95?
Okay. Something like that.
Is that right?
I don't know.
I think it's 95.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyways. But, yeah, so since the division series began, it is tied at one, or all the division series are tied at one for the first time ever. The Kerry Carpenter home run off Emmanuel Clase yesterday. Clase, the Guardians closer, had allowed 5 earned runs all season. And this wasn't like he pitched in September only.
Yeah.
Like, no, he's just a dominant closer who gets, like, Cy Young votes, right? A 0.61 ERA. Mm. He had given up 2 homers all year. The Guardians up 1-0 in that series. The game's tied at 0. It's the top of the 9th. He puts 2 runners on. 2 outs, 2 strikes. Kerry Carpenter smacks a 3-run homer to right field. Tigers go on to win it 3-0.
Absolutely crazy.
Just so good. It's like, that's my favorite thing about baseball, is you've got this dominant closer. Kerry Carpenter, good player. 18 homers in 87 games this year. Has some pop, for sure. Mm-hmm. But 2 outs, 2 strikes with this guy on the mound, you're sitting there thinking, like, all right, this inning's over. Who do the Guardians have coming up, and is this going to extras? And then with one pitch, the entire complexion of the game, the entire complexion of the series changes.
Oh, yeah.
And that wasn't the only thing that happened last night. The Royals beat the Yankees 4-2 to tie up that series. We'll get to what Jazz Chisholm had to say after the game, because I think he made a pretty significant mistake that we'll get into. We'll talk about Dodgers Padres some. The Dodgers narking on Manny Machado because he used the ball as a weapon.
Get stitches, man.
We'll get to that. We'll get to the Monday Night Football game last night with the Chiefs beating the Saints. Demonis Sabonis talked to practice yesterday about shooting more threes. Would love to get into that as well. Jam-packed show coming up on the Insiders on a Tuesday. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Theater.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, big Padres guy. Always have been.
Always have been.
You're going to tell me that I lived in the Randy Jones, Dave Winfield, Steve Garvey as a Padre era. You're going to try and tell me that I'm not a big Padres guy? I cried the day Ken Caminiti died.
It's Kyle.
I have a Jake Peavy poster in my room still.
Trevor Hoffman. You bleed. Trevor Hoffman.
I'll never forgive James Shields for giving up that homer to Bartolo Colon. We're a laughing stock. Shout out to Jesse Agler for real. He's the Padres radio guy. I love Jesse very much.
There we go.
He's a great dude. I think the Padres have a great, I'm one of the few from in my life anyway, that really digs the Padres colorway. The
brown and gold.
I'm a big fan. Big fan of the look. I'm a big fan of the throwback look. I'm a big fan of the new version that they have of it. I didn't like the blue and orange is fun. It's nostalgic, right? Mm-hmm. But the blue ones they had through the blue uniforms they had up until pretty recently were not a fan. Didn't love those.
Yeah.
This is the throwback. This is the old school hat. I have the new Padres hat from when I went to a Padres game for my buddy's bachelor party. They've got a bunch. Here's where I'm at with them. And I'm at this place with a lot of teams. They have a lot of good players that I like very much. Their games look like an incredible vibe. And I think they're fun to root for.
Yeah, we'd kind of made the decision, like, if we're going to continue to follow baseball, that if and when the A's relocate to Las Vegas, that we would become Padres fans. But then I made an executive decision that I didn't need to be a Padres fan because that would mean that I would have to buy an MLB package and support Major League Baseball. So I was like, no, I'm good.
Just while we're here, while we're on this, I'll never be a fan of another team.
Yeah, no.
I'll never give a rip about a team the way I did about the Oakland A's. I can't do it.
Yeah.
So will I lean into the Padres fan bit as an excuse to go to San Diego a couple times a year to watch baseball? Like 100%. But bet I'm going to plan those trips around like, hey, who's also the visiting team?
Yeah.
I'm not going to go watch Padres White Sox. I'm gonna go make sure I'm watching a good baseball game. So that's where that's at. But
yeah.
Hey, peep tomorrow when I wear my Royals hat, and I'm gonna be a big Royals guy.
Uh oh.
Can't tell me nothing about Mike Sweeney, bro.
Oh no. You're gonna get Dan Quisenberry on us.
Hey, maybe if depending on how things go, maybe I'll rock the Dodger hat one day. I'll be my big Dodgers guy.
Oh no.
I don't hate the Dodgers. I'm not. I wasn't alive in 1988.
Okay.
So I don't have the. I'll turn the Kirk Gibson home run off if it comes on TV.
Oh,
I don't
want
to see it, but I don't have that lingering like disdain or that hatred.
Oh no, I do.
Yeah, no, and that's fine. That's totally fair. I don't, and obviously, like, I'm not a Giants fan. So, and any Giants fan that's like, I hate everything about the dot. Like, yes, please, that rivalry is so much fun. I support it. But I don't hate. I don't have that hate in my heart for the Dodgers. The way is it funny watching a team spend a bajillion dollars and fall short every year? Like, yeah, 100%. That's super funny.
Yeah,
but I love Shohei Ohtani. Have since he was with the Angels. I can't stand the Angels, but man, Shohei's that dude. Super fun personality. Just love watching him play. Like, I'm not gonna hate Shohei now because he plays for the Dodgers.
Okay,
I don't.
No, you can't.
The only team I'm actively rooting against in the playoffs right now is the Yankees.
Well, of course. You have to, I mean, they're the evil empire.
Yeah, I just don't want to see the Yankees win.
Yeah, between them and the Dodgers, I mean, it's like, look, how many, these two teams are literally trying to buy championships.
Yeah, I think,
And they just load up and they buy everybody and you're like, okay, like, look, the A's payroll is like 1/6 of their payroll.
Sure.
And that's not even including the ridiculous fraud that is the Ohtani contract.
So I can't get there because the Padres have paid a lot for players. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers obviously have as well. The Mets have done the same. So I can't. The Phillies, So I can't do that. But the Yankees just been around. They have what, 27 titles?
Something like
that's
that.
Outrageous. That, I'm annoyed. I'm bored. Go away. I don't want. Like they're still, they're like you said, it's the evil empire. That's just, that's who they are, and they've been incredible for most of my life. Salute to them. Amazing organization. Let people do facial hair. First of all, it's insane that it's 2024 and guys can't grow beards. But I think it's, if I'm ranking the teams I would like to see win, Yankees at the very bottom.
Okay.
Dodgers probably next. And then from there, I just
kind of ambivalent to, with a lot of the other teams.
Yeah, I probably lean NL more than I lean AL, just because the Royals beat the A's in 2014 and the Tigers beat the A's in 12 and 13.
Okay.
So like there's a little residual there, but it's not like, I
want to see you
10
rolling.
Years ago, 12 years ago.
You need to come rolling in with a Chet Lemon, Detroit Tigers hat.
Sure. Do I have I don't think I have a Tigers hat.
Oh. You don't even have it as part of like, I could see you having a Magnum PI Halloween costume hiding somewhere.
No, I don't think maybe I have to change that. I might have to remedy that.
Okay.
I'm gonna get myself a Tigers hat.
Fresh Tigers hat for the playoffs.
I have Yankees. So I have the Yankees Field of Dreams one from when they played, who'd they play? The White Sox a couple years ago?
Yeah.
At the Field of Dreams. I have the 1920s style hat, super sick. So I had to snag that. I do have a Royals hat, a Padres hat, Dodgers. I don't have a Mets hat.
Really?
I'm missing the Mets.
Okay. See, I could go for a George Brett Royals hat. So, I don't know.
What do you mean a George Brett Royals hat? Please explain.
Yeah, like Kansas City Royals, like that
so
era.
So just a Royals hat.
Yeah, that okay. era. That era.
I don't think it's changed that much.
No,
I think their standard Royals hat is the same as it was. They've
yeah,
had
they just kind of stick with what they did.
They've had some
yeah.
alternates. They have a city edition one. They did the black in, what was that, like 2004-ish, the early 2000s. They went with like a black hat that was okay. kind of sweet. But yeah, I think the Phillies and the Mets and the Tigers are the only two remaining MLB playoff team hats I don't have.
Wow, you have a lot of hats.
Dude, it's insane.
I have a lot of hats, but they look very similar to this hat.
I'll take a photo yeah. and show you my
I don't
setup.
Wear team hats.
Yeah, no, that's fine. The Guardians, I have a Cleveland hat, but it is the Block C with the World Series patch on
okay.
it from 2016.
All right.
That's just a petty little shot I decided to take. But yeah, anyways, hats. Am I right? We're the Insiders. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're talking baseball playoffs. I would like Bob Costas to not call baseball games anymore.
Yeah, it's getting a little rough.
I know it's hard to like let go of like these legendary broadcasters, right? Al Michaels, same boat. Al Michaels should not be calling football games anymore. I'm sorry. Like, I get he's a legend. He is an absolute all-timer. Iconic calls. Do You Believe in Miracles is maybe the greatest sports call of all time. Like, absolute legend. Bob Costas, absolute legend. Like, no doubt. There are very few people on the planet who have seen more in baseball than Bob Costas. But that game yesterday was so hard to watch. It sounded to me like a video game. When a baseball video game comes out, they load in, I don't know how many phrases, 50,000 phrases, whatever the number is,
yep,
that are just inserted in there. And so when you play the game enough, you start to hear the patterns and the rhythms, and you can like predict what they're going to say on a diving play or whatever. That's what it sounded like yesterday while Bob Costas was calling the game. Like they punched into an AI system, have Bob Costas call this baseball game. And that's kind of what came out.
Yeah, it's really too bad because when you get to postseason baseball, there's a pageantry to it. There's, you know, you can even let the game tell the story itself, but to sit there and almost feel disengaged and just kind of phone it in it is really kind of a bummer to see, you know, one of the legends of the game. And for me, I like with Al Michaels, it's the same. It's like there should have come a point where number one, they stopped switching partners. Like they just kept giving him someone new to work with.
Yeah,
that doesn't seem to have helped. And then, you know, whether he's devalued with whatever he's doing, I don't know. It just doesn't feel like he's in it.
Yeah.
And it
talking
feels,
about Al Michaels?
Yeah, Al Michaels. Yeah, yeah. And it feels like Bob Costas is kind of the same thing. You're just not really in it. And you're just kind of going through the motions with the catalog in your head of what every play should sound
that
like.
That is exactly it. Yes.
Yeah. It's almost like, you know what it is? It feels like paint by numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like when someone is an artist at their job, and you can be an artist at calling a game, it's just so vivid, and you're you know, telling a story through,
yeah,
you know, whatever
it's
medium it is.
It's a narration.
Yeah. But it feels like with Bob Costas, he's just filling in the little bubbles and then switching to a different color
yeah.
and filling in a little bubble.
Oh, now time for the color analyst to talk. Now the color analyst is going to say something.
Yeah, it's just like super unoriginal. And
yeah,
like,
I'm sure it happened because I was flipping back and forth between that and the Chiefs game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure it happened, but it felt like Bob Costas would say something and it would be like, you know, in a video game when you hit a fly ball. And the whatever the code is says like fly ball to right, but then your guy makes a diving catch and then it goes to oh, and a diving catch. Like that's how it felt.
Yeah.
And there was no additional story. The color analyst would say something and then Bob Costas would go on to the next thing. There wasn't a conversation, there wasn't a discussion. Like you said, there wasn't a narrative. There wasn't a story being told. It was just nuts and bolts. Here's what's happening in this baseball game. Like if you asked me right now. I've been to a couple Rivercats games, but I'm not like locked into the Rivercats, right?
Uh-huh.
If you told me, hey, or Zach Beirutti, the Rivercats outstanding broadcaster, called and said, hey, I need you to fill in tonight. I need you to come call the game for me. Okay. I can get through a game. It's not going to sound good. It's not going to sound nearly as good as when Zach does it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know who's been up and down. I don't know who's been really good lately. Hey, who's been hitting the ball hard, but just hasn't come up with anything to show for it. Who's really improved defensively? Like all those things that you just kind of fill in the blank spots in a broadcast.
It's that you know because you're there every day. That's what those things are.
Right.
They're like the knowledge, the saturation level.
Yeah.
Where you can talk about anything freewheeling.
Yes.
Within what it is that you're covering mm-hmm. because you know the subject matter so yes. well that you can add something to it. And it's something that I appreciate so much with Mark Jones because Mark Jones can't be there every day.
Yeah.
But the tidbits of information that Mark Jones goes around and collects,
it's a great call.
They're the top of the top mm-hmm. line. Like, I can't believe you just found that story that no one else has told before about that player and you have that information. It's like, when did you find the time to come up with that? And that's because he does the work.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah, it just feels like, you know, again, Gary Gerald will never call a game that isn't 100% authentic and in the moment,
yep.
ever.
You know what I rock with G-Man is his ability. He's on the Kings broadcast. So if he was a just total Kings homer,
mm-hmm.
like I don't think anybody would blame him. Like that's what you're talking to Kings fans.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tell he's the Kings broadcaster, but... It's not homer-ish.
Yep.
And B, like when another player on the other team makes a spectacular play, like G Man's a fan too. He gets just as excited as anyone, any neutral observer would.
Oh, totally, totally.
And that's dude, it is so much easier on the ears when just LeBron James makes a spectacular move and G Man tells you, whoa, a spectacular move by LeBron James, you know, whatever he says. I appreciate the hell out of that when G-Man calls a game.
Yeah,
it's a little sidebar.
It's just fully authentic, and it always has been, and yep. he's one of the best that's ever done it, and then you get to a point with some of these other guys where it's almost like a chore for them. And
yeah.
they're not doing, like, man, Gary Gerald is 82 games a year at, like, 84 years old.
Yeah, just a gangster.
Bro. Just keeps going, just
love that guy.
Doesn't care, you know, and he's willing to call the team out.
Yeah.
He's willing to say when they're playing horrible.
Yeah.
Like hold somebody accountable. Make sure that people know that the team that he is employed by is not playing up to snuff. Mm-hmm. And that to me is one of those it like you can't compliment him enough because again, like he is one of the best that's ever
done.
He's
a legend, dude.
Yeah.
1,000%.
Yeah. So to hear bad commentating like this,
mm-hmm.
it it does kind of get under your skin.
Like, yeah, man. Here's just to, there's a little bit of a difference, right, between local and national.
Yep.
I'm not expecting Bob Costas or Al Michaels or any, Joe Buck, Adam Amin, Kevin Burkhardt, Joe Davis, whoever, like when they're calling an NFL game, I'm not expecting those guys to be dialed into the team the way I am.
Mm-hmm.
I would not expect Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady to know the ins and outs of every little thing with the 49ers the way I do. They get in production meetings. They get to talk to guys. They're going to know like background details more than I do.
Yep.
But if they get something wrong about Sam Okwuonu, that's like, okay. Like I'm not right, but that's not necessarily their job. Their job is to narrate the game, be excited, you know, try and, you know, supplement the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a good example. This was perfect last night. This was from the Monday Night Football game. Here's Kevin Harlan narrating or calling an interception by the New Orleans Saints. Listen to the, as we talk about Bob Costas sounding like AI and Al Michaels sounding like in the middle of the most exciting Thursday night game that maybe has ever existed last week between the Buccaneers and Falcons, sounding like he wanted to be anywhere else in the world.
Yep.
Sounding like he bet the under.
Yes, that's what it did feel like.
Listen to Kevin Harlan call this last night on I believe it's Westwood One.
Here we go, second down and goal. Mahomes in the gun, the two in New Orleans. P. Ryan in motion. There's the shotgun snap, the fake handoff, the quick throw at the goal line. It's deflected and it's intercepted on the play by Saunders. He runs the big man, the 10, near sideline 20, on the near sideline 30. Got a block in from behind. The former Chief is taken down. The Saints big man got it on the ricochet at the goal line on a pass intended for Smith-Schuster. That was a thick pick. That was a thick pick.
It was a thick pick. It bounced off of Schuster's head. And
like, that's a guy having fun calling a football game.
I mean, he
that's
literally
awesome.
A thick pick. Like,
which, pause? But, man. No, but they go, when a like offensive lineman or defensive lineman scores a touchdown, they call it a thick six. So that's a thick, like, that's funny. That's a guy just like, Kevin Harlan is having a good ass time calling that game.
Oh, yeah. Like, there is no one way or the other. He's not picking a side. He's just living in the moment and enjoying a game to its fullest.
Yes. Like, and contrast that with what we're talking about with Al Michaels and Bob Costas, who just, they're legends. They've been doing this for so long. If they're a little bored or they're a little out of touch with whatever the game has become, I don't blame them, dude.
Yeah.
I don't, like, this, it's not a they're bad now. It's, hey, they're just kind of, like, they got to move on. Like, I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't.
I feel like there's a certain amount of engagement. Anymore. Like, who called the Monday night game last night?
On television?
Yeah, on television.
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman.
Okay, yeah. So, in that game, they have a moment where Xavier Worthy scores a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
He runs up to the stands. His mom comes down. He hands her the ball. And they start going off on how this is his best friend in the world. It's his mom. It's his best friend.
Awesome.
Like, this whole entire story, they have her name. They go, like, they weren't going through the motions. And I don't particularly love Troy Aikman. I think Troy Aikman almost, like, looks for inappropriate things to say on the air. And, like, hey, I'm going to fit this crazy statement in tonight and see what people say. But, like, they've done the work. And their producers have done the work to help them, and they're in it. And like, if you're gonna make the big money and you're gonna do those jobs, like, do it well. Like,
yeah, man.
A million people would love to have your job.
Yeah, man. I'm right there with you. Shout out to Kevin Harlan, one of the very best we have. LeBron James with no regard for human life. Like, come on, man. It's so dramatic, but it's
Yeah, there's no one better. He just, again, captures the essence of what is happening as well or better than anyone. And his excitement for what is happening, it just feels genuine the whole time. Like, him calling, like, the cat on the field. Like, you've,
oh.
Yeah.
It just the best.
Yeah, like
or the game at Levi's Stadium. This is several years back,
mm-hmm.
where there was a streaker on the field,
mm.
and he did the and the guy is drunk. That yes. that call, yes. like, come on, man, that just that's the best. Like, it's, dude, you're calling a football game or you're calling a baseball game. Have a good time with it.
Yeah, I totally agree.
That's all. Speaking of baseball games, I want to get to this real quick, and then we'll get... Domantas Sabonis said some really interesting stuff at practice yesterday, and you had the video on Twitter. I want to get to that because it's about Domas and shooting more threes, and I not his hesitation to do so, but just kind of how that's an adjustment for him.
Yeah.
I want to dive into that, but before we do, I want to put a bow on this baseball postseason stuff, because I'm telling you, maybe you're not a baseball fan, but this postseason has A, super high quality baseball.
Mm-hmm.
B, the road to me to the title is wide open. And C, you have some legitimate, like, the Mets and Phillies hate each other. Those two teams cannot stand. The Dodgers and Padres hate each other.
Yep.
Cannot stand each other. And then you get the Royals and the Yankees. And, oh, nope, there we go. Here we go. I can't wait to have a producer who can do this for us. Here's Jazz Chisholm Jr. of the Yankees after they lost 4-2 to the Royals yesterday as he stirs up some drama in that ALDS.
How different does the series feel now after game two compared to after game one?
Still feels the same that we're going to win it, you know. I don't feel like anybody feels any different, you know. We're going to go out there and do our thing still. We still don't feel like any team is better than us. Like you said, we had a lot of missed opportunities tonight, so they just got lucky.
Hey, don't say that. 1,000% don't say that.
It's a bad idea.
Definitely don't say the team that just beat you in the playoffs at home got lucky.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
Not that the Royals are all of a sudden going to be like, hey, now we're motivated. But like, dude, you're going to Kansas City now. You think the fans aren't going to let you hear it about that?
Oh, yeah.
You think that pressure isn't going to get ratcheted up just a little bit more because of that? You can think that all you want. And if he had said, we feel like we're the better team, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Every team in every series should feel like they're the better team. But when he goes, we missed opportunities tonight, they got lucky. Or you just didn't do enough? Like, you just didn't play well enough?
Or they were better than you.
Or you, they were better tonight?
Yeah.
In a five-game series, dude. The Royals need to win two more. They win two of the next three games.
Yeah, it's wild.
And then the series is over. Your season's over. I don't, the guaranteeing wins, the calling the other team lucky, like all of that. If I was a Yankee fan, my skin would be crawling, dude.
Yeah.
I'm
here for confidence. I'm not here for like.
Thank you. That's it.
Yeah. Because those things usually don't age well.
Right. If De'Aaron Fox in practice tomorrow, whenever he speaks again at practice, if he wanted to say, we feel like we should be the best team in the West, or we are the best, what is happening here?
I just took my head off.
Oh, okay. That's you had all. It super off to the side.
I just fixed
like,
it.
If you need to adjust the lights, we can.
No, I fixed it.
Okay. But if De'Aaron Fox at practice tomorrow said, we feel like we're the best team in the West. Okay, fine. Actually, any team that fancies themselves a playoff team should think that.
Yeah.
Don't mind that at all. If he went, we feel like we're the best team in the West and every other team is trash. Like,
oh.
Maybe don't do that.
Mm.
Like, hey, we felt like the Pelicans got lucky last year. Like, hey. Mm,
six times.
Don't do that. Maybe don't do that. Like you said, confidence is one thing, but calling another team lucky or trash or like build yourself up. Don't try and tear the other team down.
Yeah.
Do that on the scoreboard. Do that. If the Yankees want to go in, the Yankees go into Kauffman Stadium.
Yep.
And they win the next two. Let's say 7-1 and 6-0. And they win those games. And then Jazz Chisholm after the series wants to go, we felt like we should have swept them. We think they got lucky in game two. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
A little disrespectful, but whatever. Like, hey, you won the other three, so hard to argue.
Yep.
But don't do that. Don't do that. Have that confidence. Have those conversations amongst yourselves. If he wants to go out to Aaron Judge and say, hey, man, they got lucky tonight. Like, we got the next two. Fine.
Yeah.
Don't say that with microphones in your face. Don't do that.
Yeah, probably not a great idea.
Not at all. Okay. Domantas Sabonis had microphones in his face at practice yesterday.
He did.
He did not call anybody lucky. He did not try and tear any other teams down. He did talk about shooting more three-pointers, though. This is something we talked about a lot last year, and I think it's probably going to be something we talk about quite a bit this year. So let's hear from Domas, and let's discuss what the Kings offense might look like if he does start doing that. The benefits, the pros, the cons, all of that coming up. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider. Second hour coming up here on ESPN 1320, sponsored by Jiffy Lube.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.